that, we'll have a sermon by our pastor, Mr. Jim Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming, and a great big hello to all on the phone and on the internet. We're glad to see you tuned in with us here on this beautiful Sabbath day of God here for the Church of God and Truth, as we do have our services on a regular basis here on the holy days and on the Sabbath. As I mentioned there in the prayer, the scattering that we are, it makes it a little bit difficult to all get together into one auditorium or one grouping. But anyway, we do come before God scattered as we are, and God knows where we are, and he does take care of us and bless us and answers our prayers. We're very grateful to him for that. Well, I just might mention here, we're having a beautiful day, a clear sunny day here in Branson, West Missouri. We pray that all of you are having that same kind of a beautiful day wherever you are, knowing that we're really looking forward to these nice days like today. It's about 75, and it's really nice and warm out having that temperature. It's changed for the past 2 weeks. I'd say it's really taken a different temperature. It's usually been staying about 40, 30s in the daytime, but now it's starting to warm up, so it's time to get the flowers out. As I understand, Mr. Fleming's getting his flowers out, and me and my wife are getting our flowers out. We've taken a day off here this past week and worked in our yard planting some plants and so forth into pots. So it's beautiful to be able to know God's creation are there for us as we sit back now and water and watch it grow, and knowing that that all happens because God's put that in motion. So it's a real blessing to be able to know that God can do those things for us. Here in the announcements, I might want to mention there's nothing on the schedule here as far as requests for prayer, except I just want to ask a prayer for my wife because she did fall while we were doing this, planting the flowers, and she took a rolling tumble and bruised her arms up pretty bad. But anyway, she's not really feeling in a lot of pain or anything like that. But I know that doing that, it kind of woken me up. I need to pay more attention to help her a little bit more and even help myself, because living on a kind of a area that's sloped, it's very easy to fall and lose your balance, and that's what happened with her. But it is, like I said, a blessing to be able to have God and the very sacrifice that Christ took on his broken body for us to be healed. And so we do call upon him often for that. Just right to remind you all that Pentecost weekend is coming up. Yes, it's just 3 weeks away. Now, May the 19th is a weekly Sabbath, as you have a calendar, you would know. And before that day of Pentecost is on May the 20th. So there's going to be a back-to-back Sabbath there that we are going to be enjoying again, as we did earlier during the days of unleavened bread. And so we're looking forward to that. And Sabbath services, everything we're going to come together for Pentecost and the Sabbath. So we're happy to have that scheduled. We did get the magazine mailed out this past week. We did get it, and so we were glad to get it back out into your hands. And I'm not sure if any of you have it yet. If not, you should be getting it by Monday or Tuesday, something like that. It seems like it takes about 4 days once we mail it to get into your hands to those who are living in the United States. Okay, with that, that's going to kind of close me up here on the announcements before the sermon that I will be delivering. I might want to mention here about pressing *6 after you've dialed in on the telephone, because that automatically mutes you. And so you only need to do it once after you've dialed in and you're connected. Just push *6 and you're muted, and all you will hear is us, and we won't. People on the line with us will not hear you if you happen to have to cough or sneeze or happen to have some other kind of a noise, or somebody's going down your street or something with a loud boombox or something like that. But anyway, this is the things that we put up with every Sabbath because of being on the phone and the internet and being so scattered in different areas and not knowing what the activities are where you are. But anyway, we always ask God's blessing to be with us and during this service, and he's always answered us, which we really do appreciate. And once in a while, when I make mistakes, you all have mercy and kindness on me, and we still can keep going with services this way. Okay, with that, I am going to get my notes out here. Yeah, the message here today, I think, is something that I think that I'm glad I have been able to work on, because it helps me to enlighten my mind. So many times we hear verses and so forth, and we kind of ignore them, and we don't go back into them for a long time. And then all of a sudden, when you start going back into them, it refreshes your mind. And so I feel that that's kind of what this sermon has done to me. It's not verses that we've not used before. It's just that it's been a while since we had looked at some of them. And maybe I'm wrong on your end of it, but on my end of it, that's the way I see them. But it's a blessing to have God's Word and pages of life to be able to open up to see what He has for us. Well, in my last sermon, we covered the beginning history of God's house of Israel. Today, we will be continuing with that theme, addressing the United States of America, because that is started way back from way back when, as they said in the last sermon. But knowing today, the spirit of fear prevails as our enemy Satan rattles his word and making other threatening gestures toward the house of Israel, which we all are blessed here in the United States of America. But uncomfortable state of fear will continue to dominate our nation until we wake up, because too many of this United States of America people are asleep today. But they wake up and realize what our national purpose is in the plan of God, that is, that brought us to this prosperous, wealthy land that you and I are blessed to live in. And it's a blessing to truly be in the United States of America. Do our shopping, do our everything that we do is from America. And it's a real blessing to that God has given to us. So that's why we're going to be talking a little bit about this today, because it's hard for me to get it off my mind, because I do truly love America. But we have to ask, though, is there any way out of this present impasse? Because we are in a mess. The United States of America is in a mess today. And the answer, of course, is yes. We are going to survey this impasse here today in the sermon. So as a nation, we must rediscover the sense of God's guidance that led our pioneer forefathers to face every hardship with the courage born of the assurance that God would prosper their undertakings. And they did take some serious undertakings that took some real bravery to do it. But when people in this great nation grasp this truth, which we're going to speak about here today, they will be struck with the awe-inspiring fact that God's divine spiritual power has intimately overshadowed the nations from its conception. So the United States of America was to be the nucleus of the kingdom of God upon earth, by administering the personal business of God, doing God's business, not man's business. And we can see what man's business has got us into this situation we're in today, that you and I are hearing and reading and seeing on the news. Well, the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 7 and verse 23 states, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of this kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose, that is, inherited kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Daniel 7, verse 27. So some of these today in the sermon, you might just catch the sermon or the notes of where the scriptures are, because some of them are probably need to be kind of gone over in your own mind a little bit slower than I will be doing here today. But obeying our Lord of Lords and King of Kings is easier said than done, especially once we've been called, knowing it's a challenge to us to put on that new man. And so it is definitely a challenge, a fight, something that we need to keep aware of all the time. That's why God's Word is to be at our side and read often. But carnal nature likes to argue against God's laws, argue against God's statutes, argue against His government. You know, Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, tells us of an experience that he had with a man named Korah. I know we've all probably heard that very name before. heard sermons about this man. But Korah was the son of Izhar, a brother of Amrad, who was the father of Joseph and Aaron. You might not have thought about that way before. But making Korah their cousin, that is to these two chosen leaders of Israel that God chose to put in the leadership position where they were. Well, we can find this said over here in Exodus 6, 21. You might want that put down in your notes. And Numbers 16, verse 1 all the way to verse 49 talks about this Korah. Kind of gives the whole story, and we're just going to be touching on a few verses out of there, not going through that whole chapter there. But Korah was the main leader in a conspiracy against Moses and Aaron, kind of like the Democrats are against the Republicans today. You can put it in that kind of a picture here. So it seems Korah and those who followed him were influenced with jealousy, that is, over the privileges Moses and Aaron shared in the priesthood and the authority over the house of Israel's civil affairs. Knowing that we've looked into a lot of that, especially during the time that we've been working on God's calendar out of his word. But Korah reasoned that Moses and Aaron had set themselves up as a spokesman for God in Israel, doing it, you know, on their own. This wasn't nothing to do with God. Well, notice over here in Numbers 16, and we're going to read verses 2 to 4. Numbers 16. And verse 2, there it says, and they rose up before Moses. This is who we're talking about, Korah, and his people were with him. And they rose up before Moses with certainty of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard this, he fell upon his face, verse 4 tells us. He was shocked by what he was hearing coming out of their mouth, saying and thinking the very thoughts that we just read there out of those verses. Well, Korah and those who were supporting and following him did not recognize Moses and Aaron as being given the direction of representative of God. They were God's representative. They were chosen by God and Christ to be the representative of him and his son in heaven. Well, their human carnal nature looked at Moses and Aaron as their equals, not recognizing the office they held was appointed to them by the living God. They missed the whole point. But anyway, you can read the full story here of Korah in chapter 16 yourself and see the rebellious attitude of the people toward God's anointed and appointed. So read with me what Moses said here in verse 29 and 33 here in Numbers 16. We're going to bypass a lot of verses there and drop down from 4 where we just finished, or down here to verse 29. And it says, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Well, that is something that we can just, if you read that, know the seriousness of God, that he puts in who he wants in, and he takes out who he wants out of offices. And you can see a good example of that just by looking at our government here in the United States of America. What happened to Hillary? Well, she's still around. She's really lucky she didn't end up in that pit that we just read where where we just read where Cora just went into, knowing the very bad scene that one would be to have God actually take a hand in that and do that to a person, or do that to a whole group of people, taking their whole household and them, their children and all. But reading verse 28 there, it says, "And Moses said, Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." In other words, it wasn't something that he did do it. Korah was accusing him of, and Korah was dead wrong on his making that mistake and accusing them, him and Aaron, of doing what they did, of being in charge there. But that rebellion against God's chosen servants, you can see what we just read, did not pay. You know, Moses and Aaron did not have a personal ambitions, that is, to try to put themselves above others. That wasn't what they were trying to do, nor were they chosen by God to act in the way Aaron, or the way that Korah kept trying to express. But Korah and his followers, you know, who rebelled with him, didn't understand that God's laws, statutes, and government in his called assembly is divinely appointed from God the Father and through Jesus the Christ, who is the head of the church. They didn't understand that. But we, as being blessed by God at this time, most of us do, because we've been in God's church for a number of years and have heard a number of sermons and Bible studies, a number of times we've been on our knees praying to God, asking for the help and encouragement to strengthen our thinking on what God has for us and planned for us, and why we need to work on changing ourselves and not get into this kind of an attitude that we just found Korah and his gang was in. But anyway, without the help of God's Holy Spirit, we can begin acting in the same manner as Korah and his followers did. You know, we have to continually question our attitude and our nature, asking God's our own selves, if we have begun to put on this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. That's what it says we're to do over there in Ephesians 4:24. Put on that new man. Don't wear the old man, but once you are baptized, once you're called, baptized, have hands laid on you, receiving God's Holy Spirit, then you need to start working on putting on the new man and getting rid of the old man that rears its ugly head way too often in too many of us that have been blessed and called. So that's something that's a challenge for all of us, and we know that we've been given plenty of instructions out of God's Word how to help us to truly not let that happen, to fall into that trap of Satan. But Jesus the Christ describes here in Matthew 7:14 that this new man's path as a straight and narrow road which leads into life, and few there be that find it. So you can see that there alone is putting us into a few, into a very small number, compared to how many that will never find it, at least not at this time, will they. But our Bible, as God's Word, warns us of those who will not accept his authority, his statutes, or his government. There have been some who have slipped into God's church with just such an attitude. I've been here in God's church over 50 years, and I can guarantee you I have seen that happen many, many, many times. You know, but their attitude is, your God's not going to tell me how to live. Not going to tell me that I have to rest on the Sabbath. I'd rather go to work and be breaking my bones at work than coming before God, resting and learning of true life that's going to happen, the kind of life in eternity, not the kind of temporary life that we are seeing today. But anyway, continuing here, Peter made note of this in his second epistle, saying in 2 Peter 2:10, "Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Powerful words. That's challenging to all of us because it's so easy. But God works with us. He loves us and gives us the help we need through His Holy Spirit. And we're very grateful to God for that. Well, anyway, just that verse alone, does that sound like Korah's attitude? It does to me when I read that, because that's the kind of stuff Korah was trying to spew out to the audience that he was drawing against against Moses and Aaron. Well, so we go on here with, when we were the people of the United States of America, accept the fact of our origin, our responsibility and destiny as being the lead man nation of God that is in this world today, then our present predicament will be according to the direction given through the prophet Isaiah over here in Isaiah 54 and verse 14. Isaiah 54 and verse 14. There it says, in righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. These are promises from God for you and for me, that He is telling us those things. And it is a blessing. National righteousness is a way of life, you know, based upon obedience, that is to the commandments, the statutes and judgments of the laws of God from the very beginning of Genesis. Well, therefore, the prophets warning, expressing an urgent need, that is to cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voices like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob, that is Israel, their sins. That's in Isaiah 58:1. We've heard that verse quite often. But on the 4th of July, we're going to be celebrating the anniversary of the house of Israel's independence and freedom from Britain. You know, our forefathers came to these eastern shores of the North American continent to lay a foundation for a Christian society. Not what we see going on today. As seeing on today, they're trying to get rid of anybody that puts the term Christian into their vocabulary. But the Bible, God's Word, was the central influence in their lives. It's something that we need to take note of when we go through the sermon here. The administration and the affairs of state was to conform with the requirements of God's laws, statutes, and judgments. You know, by their, but there is a matter of grave concern, I think, today, because our nation has departed so far afield from the faith and the truth and trust that God manifested by the founding fathers. It's nowhere to be found throughout the United States in any popular way. It's being made more scarce and more scarce to hear that kind of things being mouthed around anymore in people's lives. They're getting scared because of the sinful way, or because of Satan's ways of handling Christians that he is definitely trying to put down. And he doesn't like God's peaceful ways, the fruits of His Spirit being practiced in the people's lives. You know, but we have forgotten that the pilgrims fully recognize, that is, unless God prospers our endeavors, we labor in vain. The psalmist in 127:1 states it well. He says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, the marginal rendering of that particular verse is that they labor in vain that are builders of it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awakes, but in vain. Well, now that our nation had become rich, been blessed with the land that has made us rich, houses and possessions that we have been blessed to live in and have, along with having the abundance of the things which provide for physical well-being, the people of Israel have turned aside from heeding Moses' warning that we read there, that we can read of over here in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Over here in Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 14. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and in verse 11. There it says, "Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his statutes and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten to the full and have built goodly houses and dwelt within them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be filled up, be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God." That is, I think, a lot of what's going on today in the United States of America, in a lot of houses, in a lot of homes. But Moses' warning to Israel was, when you are to enter the land God promises them, they were not to become so engrossed with their possessions as to forget their duties to God. And that's exactly what I think has happened. You know, when this increase in material goods, there is ever the tendency of forgetting the Lord by whom power these things are secured. We didn't do this on our own. Verse 17, it says, "And you say in your heart, my power and my might of mind hand has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as it is this day." Men too prone to take credit for these kind of things themselves. They're in their good estate, and they boast of being self-made persons, forgetting all that we are and all that we have are from God. We didn't get this, do this ourselves. God is the one that's promoting this into each of our lives to be blessed to have the things that we have. We didn't do it on just our own. God is there giving us these things. And we can see by coming rich what happens to so many. They throw God aside from where the very source that they have, the things that they have, and do their own thing, just like what we just read about there of Korah. You know, awareness, I think, of this fact keeps a man humble and enables him to view the things of time in their true perspective. You know, from where did these promises of wealth originate? Who was it that it came from while they were sojourning in Egypt? Well, Joseph's father, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, performed a special ceremony with Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, in his presence. You know, this ceremony had to do with their inheritance, and we covered a lot of this in my last sermon, that I'm taking the theme from it to carry on this sermon here today. So in my last sermon, as we know, we read through Genesis 48, where Jacob, Joseph's father, that is Israel, blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, saying in verse 19, "Manasseh also shall be a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother Ephraim shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations." Well, today, the United States of America is seen as Manasseh, that God said would be a great people. You know, we use the biblical application to designate our national status as a great people. You know, the preamble of the Constitution of the United States confirms this, as we just read, that we are a great people. And what does it say there when we start out? We the people, doesn't say some other name there, it's addressing us. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provides for the common defense, promote the general welfare, the secure the blessings of liberty of ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. This is what they're trying to do away with, the party that's up there that calls themselves Democrats. And we have other names for them, but I won't mention them here. But the prophet Isaiah directed a message to we, the people of God. You know, he warned Israel of a time to come when many among them would face extreme tribulation, something that we all know about. I'm sure you've studied what tribulation means and so forth. But the reason given here is found in Isaiah 17 and verse 10. There it says, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have been mindful of the rock of your strength, therefore shall you plant pleasant plants and shall set it with strange slips. Now that's kind of a strange verse to be reading. Let me just read that one more time to us to make sure we kind of get what it's being said here by the scriptures here. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your strength, therefore shall you plant pleasant plants and shall set it with strange slips. So keep this verse kind of in mind as we're going to be marching down through the sermon here. The meaning of strange slips, that is Strong's numbers 2156 and Strong's number 2168. Is budding shoots, foreign seedlings, foreign alliances, illicit gods, actually all are Israel's enemies. But here in Isaiah 17 and verse 11 it says, in the day shall you make your plants to grow, and in the morning shall you make your seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. Well, this will be a time of separation that we read of from time to time throughout God's Word as we go through much of studies in God's truth, where we read times when the wheat talks about the wheat and the tares and the wheat and the chaff and the sheep and goats and the righteousness and sinners and so forth. All those things are at odd ends to each other. Well, the history of Israel reveals God's people were well mourned and nourished with instances of God's actions on their behalf. These are all things that have been said back in God's Word, and much of Israel heard all this, but they still went off course. But too quickly, you know, they turned aside into paths of disobedience. So when our pilgrims, fathers, have set sail, that is to go to this new world that you and I are blessed to live in today, there is no doubt that the psalmist of David strengthened them daily, and perhaps they often repeated the very assertion we read over here in Psalms 31 and verse 3. Here in Psalms 31 and verse 3 says, you art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, your name's sake, lead me and guide me. So God did lead them, and he further stated by the psalmist in Psalm 78:35, they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. So they had every reason to be thankful to God, who was at the prophets expressed, as the prophets expressed it, you know, the rock and their strength, very strong, straightforward words that they were truly blessed, that God did take care of them, and they put things such as verses such as that, I'm sure, in their conscience quite often. But the start of their planting, that is, they planted pleasant plants when they once got here, because that's what they were running away from, the other type of plants that were not the plants coming from God, but the wrong kind. That is, durable plants that Isaiah had said over here in Isaiah 17:10, meaning that they had laid the foundation of righteousness in that new land in which they had come. So in the beginning stages of this nation, God's seed, that is God's law, was planted and did nourish and developed into a godly, sincere people with energy and vigor for doing what was right, for doing what God shown them to be right. They were willing to let God be their guide and their direction. And I think just reading the Constitution, what we started there today, very clear. Their information was not coming off the top of their head, it was coming from God's Word. But however, expanding the graphic analogy here, Isaiah stated that when the people were no longer mindful of God, that is being the rock of their strength, they began to allow strange slips, just as that verse said. Strange slips, foreign teachings join in, among other pleasant plants, spiritual teachings. In other words, the tares were being sown. You know, the Hebrew word translated strange simply means foreign or profane, identified as godless. It has a significance of to turn aside, in other words, to ignore, to not pay attention to, but the also implies forgetting that God of our salvation, and that's what they needed to keep God as their salvation, recognizing that on a daily basis. Well, Isaiah chapter 7, God advanced warnings is saying that we would turn away from our divinely directed ways of life, and we would cultivate a strange idolatries and also foreign idolatries and doctrines of opposition to the laws of God, which exactly is what we're witnessing today, you know, and being very automatically opposed to the terms of national covenant the Lord made with their forefathers at Mount Sinai. You know, those laws are found written in Exodus chapter 19 through 24. Among the strange slips were those which bred vocal criticism and unfavorable judgments, just as we read Korah did. You know, they seem to never be happy or satisfied. They foster disbelief in the faithfulness of the Scriptures, that is, you know, God's Word. You know, they ripened into great apostasy that has settled down upon Christendom today, that they are truly trying to kill anything that has an involvement with God or Christ. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to read it. They don't want to see it in any way to be a part in their life. And so they're trying to take it out of other people's lives who don't have that same feeling in them. But trying always to remove God's laws and praying from our God-given land, I think it's a sad departure that is from godly spiritual plants and forefathers brought with them and nourished when they came here to the eastern shores of America. And what a shame it is to see all the corruption that's been introduced and is spilling its ugliness into the Christian society today, where this whole country should have been completely by now fully a Christian nation. And we know that it's still addressed by some that it is, but it is truly, when you look at the population of it today and their thoughts of what's going on today, that isn't the case anymore. You know, there is something I think that we need to be, that we need to remember. That is, when Israel came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude with them that was always ready to complain and to have a leavening attitude. It's something we know about that. We just passed through the days of unleavened bread, causing Israel to want to return to the leeks and the onions of Egypt. They wanted to turn around and go back. They couldn't believe that God just let them walk through a lake dry-shotted, and the miracles that what they just seen happen to Pharaoh and his army, but they just did not believe it, I guess, even with their own eyes seeing it. But anyway, it seems that they were never able to see God's hand in the event, and they seemed always ready to support opposition leaders like Korah and his gang. But remember, God's swallowed them up in that earthquake. It's something we don't want to happen to us, because it sounds like with the power God has, that can easily happen at any time at his thought. And so those are things that should be in our minds, knowing that God has blessed us to be called. And so we need to be putting on that new man of God's word that we're to work on. But the picture today, I think, is about the same as it was then, except that now Israel is no longer at the mercy of being on foreign land, which is a blessing, an advantage to putting on that new man. But God promised a power and independence and progress for Israel has been fulfilled in the United States of America. God has truly already blessed America. You know, the largest fulfillment of all God's promises waits on a modern Israel's repentance and acceptance of his will. That's what people are not willing to do, to repent, not willing to change, not willing to put on that new man, not willing to do what God says, showing them the fruits of his Holy Spirit. And those fruits are what's going to bring peace and not ugliness and wars and all that we see going on today. But the larger fulfillment of all of God's promises wait on modern Israel's repentance and accept of his will. That's exactly what we've got to do. You know, this is a point we already return to, and that is God has fulfilled his word in us, and we have not fulfilled our word in him. As you can see, he's done his part, and man has not done his part. It's a two-way street. But anyway, Solomon said that there is nothing new under the sun, and he is truly right on that very small, short statement. There is nothing new under the sun. The United States of America has departed a long way from the kind of government our forefathers were presented at Mount Sinai. You know, they were instructed, that is, to put into operation God's laws. It was to be a representative form of government with spiritually qualified men selected to speak for the people, those that God has chosen. Those are the ones that we read about, just get absolutely missed his thinking. And so he thought that Moses was doing this on his own, and that wasn't so. But notice over here in Isaiah 18. Isaiah 18 and in verse 21, a verse I've not heard read in a long time. Isaiah 18 and verse 21. There it says, "Moreover, you shall provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and places such as over them, to be ruled of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of ten." You can see how God breaks a responsibility onto those who are going to be in the eternal kingdom with God. There's going to be plenty of positions for that type of work. You know, the law of the Lord was to be the basis of its constitution and was to be administered as the law of the land. It was not just only little church groups here and there and groups of people here and there, but it was to be the law of the land. The very government of God's government was to be instituted and to be practiced. But our government was never under any circumstances to degenerate into a democracy. You know, our forefathers stood before Mount Sinai and took the oath in the presence of the Lord. And at that time, he constituted them, his kingdom people, and called upon them to administer his laws. So what was their answer to him? Knowing that this was a responsibility that God was putting on their shoulders. Here in Exodus 19 and verse 8, we read their answer that I gave in my last sermon. There I said, and all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the word of the people unto the Lord, And God heard it from Moses' mouth. That was in Exodus 19 and verse 8. But our national transgression today is our failure to keep that vow and to administer the laws of the Lord and enforce it as the law of the land. Consequently, our sins have separated us from our God. Isaiah declares over here in Isaiah 59, in verses 1 to 3. I want to pick that up here with me. Over here in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Sure hear a lot about lies in the news today, and God speaks an awful lot about that. But unless we heed the call to return to national righteousness, and talk about this nation, now that our identity as God's people has been proclaimed, Israel is going to perish. They will end up going down in that pit when the earthquake hits. But through the prophet Ezekiel, this is another urgent message, I think, is addressed to us who are of the household or the house of Israel. Over here in Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. In verse 10. Therefore, O you son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, and turn you from your evil, that is your evil ways, and why will you die, O house of Israel? Again, some sincere warnings that needs to be heeded. Heeded then as well as heeded today. It sounds like the people of our nations will be driven from their knees, driven to their knees by the coming of time events that's going to be on the pathway now. You know, the house of Israel needs to pray, and prayer the prophet Joel lined out for them. Over here, we can go over there here to Joel chapter 2. Israel must acknowledge that they are God's servant people, as we all must, and Joel instructs, instructions are found here in Joel 2 and verse 17. In verse 17 it says, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let themselves spare your people, O Lord, and give not your heritage to a reproach, that the heathen, that is the strange slips of the illicit gods, should rule over them. Wherefore shall they say among the people, where is their God? The only time the people of Israel slipped into a democracy, or lapsed, I should say, into a democracy, was when Aaron, that is in the absence of Moses, listened to the people's voice, that is the majority, and gave them a golden calf to worship. Give me all your jewelry and we'll melt it down, and we're going to build a calf and we're going to worship that. Well, that example is in Exodus chapter 32. You know, it was a mob ruled and the people sinned. You know, God never intended for Israel, that is his people, to succumb to being a disorderly mob rule. That's just not found in God's word, the way to handle things. But the founding fathers of this nation recognized the danger of that happening. So they wrote a constitution for the United States that provided for a representative form of government. That's what many people in the United States don't understand. A republic, not a democracy. Now, however, the strange slips that we talked about earlier here, foreign seedlings of democracy, has been deliberately set out, and they are bringing praises in a full bloom as they are being watered, as we notice in this world today that we live in, and being watered, and they're coming to bloom. It's a mess. You know, we see this kind of growth in our USA government leaders and czars today. They don't understand Trump, who's trying to straighten this mess out. He has his rough ways about doing it, but he's achieving the things God put him in that office to achieve. You know, they have adopted many mixed beliefs in this government. Liberal progressivism, Marxism, communism, Nazism, fascism, fable socialism. You know, all three of these, any three of these beliefs would be considered the three frogs of Revelation 6:16. And I saw three unclean frogs like I seen three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Liberal progressivism, Marxism, communism, Nazism, fascism, Fabian socialism, one world government, letting Satan be the rule. Well, the new government has been trying to drift in or draft in any three of these today into the one body politics. As we know, that's exactly what Obama tried to do and worked hard to do, and he's still working on it today. He hasn't given up on that. So with the end results being the God's laws and ways ending in death, killing Christianity, killing God's chosen. You know how tragic it is that the prophet Isaiah found himself impelled to prophesy. Over here in a marginal rendering is of Isaiah 17:11. It says, "But the harvest shall be removed in the day of inheritance, and there shall be deadly sorrow." Amen. That is exactly what will happen. There will be deadly sorrow. But all the early signs God gave to the house of Israel points to the fact that our nation should be preparing to enjoy what the phrase day of inheritance foreshadowed and be experiencing a fulfillment of the covenant blessings bestowed upon us and being the house of Israel. We are blessed. Count your blessings as God tells us to do. That we truly need to do that on a daily basis. But instead, there will be a deadly sorrow as this time of trouble deepens, which is described by the prophet Daniel in Daniel 12 and in verse 1. There in Daniel 12 and in verse 1, it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book," that is, in the book of life, and that is God's book that he has a bunch of names in, and we pray that our name will be in that book of life, eternal life. You know, at that present time, our society, at this present time, our society is in a state of degeneration and decay, and our nation is undergoing a plan, pain and struggle of judgment. You can see the pain going on very easily today. You know, we are floundering around as a people on the edge of a pit of destruction. Take much earth shaking to put us into that pit. But Isaiah chapter 18 is specifically addressing the message of the United States of America. Remember that this is that chapter that is identified as the land of America. I gave a sermon on that but a couple years or so ago. But God continues communicating a message for us through the prophet Isaiah. You know, God speaks of a rest in his dwelling place during these specific or specially fixed periods of time. And he said he will refrain from intervening on behalf of his people. Here in Isaiah 26 and verse 21, there he says, "For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, for their sins. The earth also shall be disclosed her blood, that is the origin of her races, and shall no more cover her slain." Well, before this harvest is gathered in, Isaiah chapter 18 and verse 5 states that, "For behold, before the harvest, when the bud is perfect, the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs, foreign seedlings, the illicit gods, with pruning hooks, and take away and cut down the branches." Isaiah 18 and verse 5. It was through the pruning and the purging fires of tribulation that the Lord will lop off the growth of these strange slips that we've been talking about as we read there from Scripture and their teachings in order that the plant itself may again bear righteous fruit, not unrighteous fruit. You know, our desperate needs today as individual Christians and as chosen nation is to experience God's spiritual arousing and return to our God's laws that he spells out for us throughout his word. You know, this alertness is to the necessity to obey his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. All this comes under being governmentally ruled by God and his ways. So when we do this as a people, we will be able to join in the affirmation voiced by the psalmist of Psalms 40, verses 2 and 3. Here in Psalms 40, verses 2 and 3, "He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my goings, and he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Psalms 40, verses 2 and 3. So in the face of unavoidable catastrophe, I guess, and put it, the moment of confrontation with the Lord God Almighty will come. That is when the sinistry, the sinistry, get my mouth spelling words right here, with the sinistry of all the government officials holders in our nation will earnestly desire to embrace the fruit of repentance, the right fruits. The fruits that God tells us that all of us are to be following. Well, following this, we'll renew a pledge and a pilgrim's forefathers in order that it may be well with us as with our children. You know, that's, we want it to go on down through our families. Then and only then, the enemy within will be destroyed. So in closing, the foe, that is, the foe without will be vanished. And we, the people of the United States of America, will be delivered from all works of iniquity, all works of sins. So with all that said, may God bless America. I will turn services